Hi, this is Becky Pitts, host of the Becky Pitts Morning Show.
This is Don Shields, host of the Don Shields Show.
This is Joe Brantley, host of the Joe Brantley Show.
This is Rob Pacey, voice of PBL Athletics.
This is Dan Geek.
And you're listening to the Jay and Kale Show.
Presented by 104.9 WBSN Paxton Rantoul.
Hey, and welcome back to the Jay and Kale Show, presented by 104.9 WBSN Paxton Rantoul. I think we're on episode 16 now, Jay. We are fresh out of our first movie review. We watched Iverson last week. We're probably going to pick another one to watch this weekend for Monday's episode. But Thursday night for you and I, Friday morning, Friday afternoon, Friday evening, Saturday, whatever day you're listening to this here. It's Friday or Saturday for you. But, Jay, it's been a pretty decent week other than having to stay inside, practice social distancing, be smart, be safe. But how's the week going for you thus far?
Yeah, going well. Finally getting some nice weather, able to get out and about, walk around, not have to be cooped up in the house as much anymore. And then, obviously, it's always a good week when we have an Illini freshman get a, you know, freshman of the year. So, Kofi, big thing for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Big Ten freshman of the year, and then he was voted freshman of the year this week as well. We haven't had that since, oh, man. I'm going to date myself on that. I want to say it might be Dimitri McCamey, I think, would have been the next freshman of the year, in the running for it at least, for that. But, yeah, congrats to Kofi. Moving into today's episode, Jay, we got pretty exciting stuff here. We were racking our brains trying to figure out what we were going to do for the pandemic. And thankfully, Coach Rob Pacey has joined us for today's episode. Coach Pacey, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Just one day at a time. E-learning is off and running at the school. So, working from home, it's been a little bit different, but so far so good. And then like, Jay was talking, the weather's been real nice. Got outside and hit a few golf balls, you know, but it's funny you guys, that, Kofi question is kind of like a trivia question, which is where we're. And then big news this week on the movie front, right? ESPN is going to speed up the release of that 30 for 30 Last Dance for Chicago Bulls. So really looking forward to that. That could be exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's supposed to start on the 19th. It's that Michael Jordan documentary of his last season coming out of retirement the second time, I believe. It's a 10-part series.
Yeah, 10-part series. And then actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, our very own Jordan Anderson said he was actually a part of this documentary to an extent. Said he got to work on a few episodes as well. So that's kind of cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. You know, obviously, I graduated with Jordan. He's doing a lot of stuff with our social media with the NFL. We got to get him on one of these episodes too while I'm sitting here thinking about it before we get into it. But anyway, Coach Rob Pacey, voice of a lot of PBL lady athletics, volleyball, basketball, you name it, is here for WPXN. Coach Pacey, kind of run us through what we're going to be doing for today's episode real quick. You kind of hinted at it a little bit, but go ahead and run us through it.
Well, we've got some trivia questions for you guys. I tried not to go too far in the Wayback Machine because I realized that trivia for you guys is like the last 20 years. So I tried. I try not to trip you up too much, but there's some Bears trivia on there, Cubs, Cardinals, and some Fighting Illini. It's a range of questions. I tried to kind of keep things interesting. So maybe I'm gonna put Jay on the spot because I don't normally get to, I don't normally get to hang out with this guy. We're hanging out, you know, digitally, social distancing. So our first question is a Cardinals trivia question.
All right.
So prior to becoming manager, Tony La Russa earned a degree from Florida State. And the question is, what was that degree in? And it's multiple choice. Did he earn a degree in law, engineering, or philosophy?
Ooh, let's see. I did read a couple books on Tony La Russa, so I'd like to think I should know this question. Can you run me through the multiple choice one more time?
Law, engineering, or philosophy?
I'm going to say law. If I remember right, it was Florida State College of Law is where he graduated from. I think. I'm not positive. I'm going to go law.
That is absolutely correct. He earned a law degree from Florida State before he got into, obviously, some very successful managing of the White Sox and Cardinals. So
hopefully I didn't waste my only correct question on the first one. So I appreciate you giving me – appreciate you giving me a Cardinals question to start it off.
Way to get us off and rolling there. I like it.
That's awesome.
All right. Kale, this one's for you, man.
All right.
It's a numbers question. Guy you might know, not too far back. Peanut Tillman set the NFL record for forced fumbles in 2012. How many forced fumbles did he have?
Oh, I'm going to say the peanut punch, man. I'm going to go with six. I know that's probably a little high, but, man, that peanut punch was unstoppable. I'm going to say six.
Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? Ten.
I'm sitting down.
Ten is what I found.
Ten.
Well, I mean, that's Lovey Ball, though. You talk about it like a skill, because like Jake Hansen was on track to like have some like crazy number of forced fumbles before he got hurt
this yes.
So, I mean, and Peanut did go to a couple of their practices, so maybe he like coached him up on it. I don't know.
I know Jake Hansen was on pace to set the, I think it was not only the University of Illinois record for forced fumbles, but it might have been on track for the Big Ten record, because I think at one point in the season he was up at eight.
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot. So, all right. Let's see here. Ooh, this is for Jay.
Hit me.
Kind of another tricky multiple choice. You ready? Who is the all-time leader in rebounds at Illinois? Brian Cook, Deion Thomas, or James Augustine?
I'm gonna go with the unpopular answer. I'm gonna go with Brian Cook. I feel like he's forgotten about it. I'm gonna go with Brian Cook.
Forgotten guy, but not the rebound leader. It is actually James Augustine. And I think that's by sheer longevity, because I think he and D. Brown are the all-time leaders in games started with, like –
That is correct.
Like, it's triple digits, I know. It's like 100, 110 or something. It's a crazy number of games started.
Oh, the 04-05 team.
If I'm not mistaken, Deion only played 3 years.
Correct, because I think he had some NCAA issues. He had some time that he sat out maybe as a freshman. I don't remember. That's a good question. For next time, I can remember that 05 season. My dorm room was across the street where the Arc is now, and when they played Wake Forest, you could actually hear the crowd from the assembly hall. Across the street from the Arc, they were that loud.
That's awesome. That's crazy.
It was crazy. All right, Kale. Cubs trivia question. I'm not really a Cubs guy, so that's a little bit of a hint here on the answer. I'm not a Cubs. The 1906 Cubs won 116 games, which is the major league record. They won 116 games, but they lost in the World Series. Because that's what the Cubs do. They lost in the World Series. What team did they lose?
Oh, boy. Going all the way back to 1906. I know.
It's a Cubs rival. And it's a team I'm a fan of. But that might not help you.
Oh, boy. I think that might make it worse. The Cubs rival, I can think of one off the top of my head, and I know it's not the one I'm thinking of.
I'll take a shot.
Go with your gut.
Hang on.
I want to steal it. Give me a chance to steal it.
I want to say it's St. Louis, but I don't know. I know that's not right. Hang on.
Five seconds and Jay's going to
say. Is it the White Sox?
It is absolutely the Chicago White Sox.
Crosstown Classic, baby.
It's the only Chicago Crosstown World Series, and the White Sox beat them in 6 games, 4-2.
See, I was getting all thrown off there because I didn't know exactly when the leagues and all of that. I was getting scared. I was second guessing myself.
Yeah. All right, Jay, this one's for you. Also, Cubs trivia. Sorry,
that's all right.
But I gotta be fair here. Kerry Wood struck out 20 batters in a game. A handful of guys to do that in MLB history. He struck out 20 batters in a game in 1998. What team did he face in that game?
This is crazy because I got pretty lucky because it was on TV the other day.
Yeah.
And I watched it. So it is the Houston Astros. It was 20 strikeouts against the Houston Astros. That's the only reason I know it's because it was on TV last week.
Yep, the Houston Astros is correct.
So if you didn't get that, I was taking that from you.
All right. Kale, this is a Bears trivia question. A somewhat controversial figure in current Bears team life, I guess. It's a Mitch Trubisky question. Are you ready for this?
Oh, God. Here we go.
Sorry. What is the fewest number of pass attempts that Mitch Trubisky has had in his career? Fewest number of pass attempts in a game. I'll give you a hint. It's a very low number, but they still won the game. Fewest number of pass attempts in a game, because some people would probably not have him pass attempting at all. But fewest number of pass attempts. Sorry. That was my opinion, not a trivia question. Sorry. Fewest number of pass attempts in a game.
It was not this past. It was the year we the double doink happened. Had to be. Because that's by far the best season he's had. And I know it's the fewest number of attempts, but I'm trying to think of wins here. I'm going to say 7.
That is correct. It is 7.
Yes.
I'll give you lucky number 7.
Double bonus points on that. He was 4-for-7 in a game in 2017, his rookie season, and they beat the Panthers 17-3 in that game. He attempted 7 passes the entire game.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
We all still wish we could win games with him only throwing the ball 7 times now.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. 7 pat. Think about that. That's an NFL quarterback. This goes to why I hate this guy even more. I can't stand him. I wouldn't say hate him. Can't stand him. He throws 7 passes in a game and he still somehow wins the game. That's how hard he's got to get carried. That's unbelievable.
Yep. That's it. Strange but true. Okay, Jay, this is a Cardinals question again. It's a little bit different format, though. It's an over-under question.
All right.
I'm going to give you a number, and you have to say whether the answer is over or under. This is an absolute Cardinals legend. The number is Bob Gibson's ERA for the season in 1968. Bob Gibson's ERA. Is it over or under $1.25? ERA.
$1.25 ERA over under in 68. Yes. Man, for some reason, my gut's saying that it is just over $1.25, just over. So I'm going over on $1.25 for ERA.
Okay, are you ready for this? They don't make pitchers like they used to. Are you ready? His ERA for the season, which is why they lowered the mound after the season, 1.12 for the season.
I do remember that they did lower the mound because of that guy. And I'll tell you what, if you look back through some of his interviews and stuff on paper about how he would throw at people and people got hits off of him, you're absolutely right. They don't make pitchers like him anymore, that's for sure.
He He was 22-9 on the year with 13 shutouts and 268 strikeouts for the year, ERA of 1.12. 13 shutouts in a season.
Isn't that crazy?
There are guys who don't have 13 shutouts or 13 complete games for their career.
Right, yeah. Like the Cy Young winners for each league every year, it seems like they have two or three complete games, and that's almost unheard of nowadays.
Back when men were men.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
I'll give Kale a over-under question as well.
Okay.
Walter Payton has the Bears team record for most rushing yards in a game. Is it over or under 250?
Over.
That's correct. It is over. He had 275 yards on 40 attempts.
Yep.
Beat the Vikings 10-7, and there were only seven passes total in that game.
They gave only one guy. Ball 40 times. 40
times. Oh, there's only one guy like the sweetness.
That's awesome.
He was their offense for a very long time.
Watching these old games being ran, watching Walter Payton run the way he did, him and Gale Sayers both. There's not much doubt in my mind that the Bears have had the two best running backs that might have ever played the game if Gale Sayers didn't blow out both of his knees.
That's the truth. Jay, question for you. This is going to be let's pull out an Illinois one. This one's an interesting question. I'll make you think about it a little bit. I'm going to give you a list of players at Illinois, and I want you to tell me who had the most career rushing yards.
All right.
So the four players, and you're going to choose one of them who you think had the most career rushing yards. Oh. Rashard Mendenhall, Pierre Thomas, Mikel LeShore, or Juice Williams.
Most career rushing yards. Okay.
Right after you say yours, I'm giving a guess.
Yeah, right off the top of my head, I'm just going to go with the professional that ended up playing for the Steelers, I think it was. I'm going to go with Mendenhall for most rushing yards.
Close, but not quite. Mendenhall only played the 3 years, so he's just barely short on that list. Kale, you want to try and steal it?
Juice.
It is Juice, but it's actually a trick question. Juice Williams and Mikel LeShure with 25-57.
Yeah.
Wow. How could I forget about Mikel LeShure? I'm disappointed in myself.
Yeah. Pierre Thomas ran for 25 and change, and Rashard Mendenhall 25-39. I think Mikel may have only played 3 years, if I remember
correctly. That's correct.
Okay. So, but still pretty solid. I mean, they're not Robert Holcomb numbers, but.
Yeah.
I was there in 98 when they beat Middle Tennessee State, and the students tried to tear down the goalposts because it was the first time they'd won in like 20 games. I mean, they were awful. And, like, Middle Tennessee State had a lead in that game of, like, 20-3. And we're like, oh, shit. And sorry, family. But they came back and ended up beating them, like, 48-20 or something like that. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was 96, 97, 98 was not very good football. It was real rough. Didn't have a quarterback, and Robert Holcomb was the offense, and the defense was great, but then, like, Simeon Rice and Hardy and all those guys graduated and moved on to the NFL, so it was not pretty. All right. Man, it should be spring football right now, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, I got a kicker question here. Are you ready?
Ooh.
Chicago Bears kicker. That's kickers are football players. Sorry. Okay, Kale. Which kicker holds the Bears team record for most extra points?
Robbie Gould.
It's not Robbie Gould. You'd think it would be, but it's actually Kevin Butler from. Butler's rookie year was 85, so obviously that helped. And then kept on kicking for like 10 or 11 years. And extra points too, because that I kind of threw you off there, because there were probably years when Robbie Gould kicked nothing but field goals because the offense was that bad.
Yeah, see, when I think about that, I sit here and say, well, Robbie Gould's the all-time leading scorer for the Bears. Then that's just where my mind went instantly. I didn't even think about extra points. Man.
That's what good show hosts do, man. They throw you off.
Yeah, this is awesome. I love this.
That's fun.
I'm going to throw you off here with a Bears question, Jay.
All right.
I guess I'll go over under again, I guess. So this is George Halas, obviously the man, the myth, the legend. He first coached the Bears in 1920, which was the NFL's first season. And his last year coaching the Bears, I won't make you give me the exact year, but was it before or after 1960?
First year being 1920, before or after 1960. I want to say, I don't remember specifically. I want to say it was the late 60s, though, so I'm going after 1960. I'm going over on 1960.
You're correct. 1967.
I knew it was 67 or 68. I wasn't sure which one it was. I'm glad I took the over. I got lucky there.
He was player coach for a while. He took a little time off for World War II and a couple other little stints, but coached the team for like 39 and a half years or something all together. So.
Isn't that crazy to talk professional football and say player coach?
Yeah.
How many people can say they played and coached on a professional football team?
Well, yep. Like a guy like Belichick, we think of as like ancient, you know, because he's been with the Patriots for 20 years. But like, there's guys like Halas who like were the franchise, you know, for decades.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, we need maybe that's a topic for another time of like, just look through the rosters of some professional teams and be like, who could the player coach be?
that is a good topic. That'd be fun.
LeBron, you know, LeBron was very much a player coach in a fashion for a while, you know. I mean,
he still is. That's why they hired Frank Vogel.
True.
I would say probably a couple quarterbacks at the professional level nowadays might be able to do it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like a Peyton Manning in the day when he was still playing, you know, like
absolutely
player coach, you know. That's a great topic for another day. Best potential player coaches in professional sports today. All right. Let's see. Kale's up now, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to give you a little history question because I was actually alive for this and you guys weren't. I know. I'm old. What year was the first night played at Wrigley Field? Was it 1986, 1987, or 1988?
88
is correct. It was August of 88, I believe, and the first one got rained out, I think.
Yep. So the 88 was the date that they picked, and it just so happened that night in Chicago, it was an absolute monsoon because Bill Murray was on the call with Harry Carey for the first two innings. And when it started raining, I think in the bottom of the first, Bill Murray wanted to take them all, wanted the lights to be taken down, was what the official call on that was. They ended up having to replay a day game on the following day.
Well, you know, Well, you just don't mess with day baseball, you know.
Especially in
that
Chicago.
That is very true.
All right. Jay, another Cardinals question. It's in your wheelhouse, but this one's a tough one. This one's a tough one. The most recent Cardinals no-hitter was thrown by Bud Smith in 2001. I had to kind of look that one up. But the question is, what team did he throw his no-hitter against? And I'll give you a hint. It's the only major league team that has not thrown their own no-hitter.
The Bud Smith no-hitter for the Cardinals. And the only team that hasn't thrown a no-hitter, you say?
Yep. The only team that has not thrown a no-hitter was his victim, the team that got no-hit.
If I remember right, the only team is the team that was trying to make some moves to possibly get to the postseason finally. I'm going to go with the San Diego Padres for Bud Smith's no-hitter opponent.
That's correct. The San Diego that's a heck of an answer. San Diego Padres are the only franchise without a no-hitter.
I can't remember. I think that was on I don't know if you guys ever watched the Comcast Jeopardy with Dan Patrick.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys had ever seen that. There was a question on that a while back, and I can't believe I remembered that. But the poor Padres, man. You think with them getting Machado and maybe Galvis, this might have been the stretch for them. They might have been able to get hot this year and make some noise. It's too bad all this stuff had to go down.
Yeah, that's the truth.
I'm seriously impressed that you knew that, because I had no idea.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. We actually have a big-time no-hitter discussion with the Cardinals in this house, because Dad saw the only no-hitter in Old Busch Stadium back in, I think it was 1986, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, he's got the scorecard in his old bedroom. One day we were up there cleaning out his old bedroom when the grandparents moved in. I'm like, what's this scorecard from? And he's like, oh, that's the only no-hitter in Old Busch Stadium. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. So then we kind of went over the old Cardinal no-hitters, and I got lucky that fell right in my lap.
That's cool. That's like, you know, you have a list of, like, games you wish you would have seen, so I'm going to, like, tie this one in with local history. 1991, and I don't know the exact. Scott Garlitz came within like one out of a no-hitter, and I don't know who it was against. But he was one out away from a no-hitter for the Giants.
And then I always get it mixed up. I remember the game, but Garlitz threw the game that the earthquake happened in San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
Scott threw that game?
I know he started two games in that series. I'd have to look back and see which.
I can't remember if he threw that game where they had the earthquake or not, but I want to say he might have. That's another one I need to look up.
All right. We're going to tie into Scott Garlitz just a tiny bit on this next question. Cubs question for who's up?
Kale.
Hey. Hey, okay. You think I can keep track of two guys here, but all right. Kale, a question. Name a Chicago Cubs pitcher that has won 20 games in a season.
Oh boy. Fergie Jenkins.
Fergie Jenkins is a great answer. He actually did it 6 years in a row.
Oh, phew.
From 67 to 72, he did it 6 years in a row. There's a couple other guys on the list, though. Any other names you want to throw out there?
Andre Dawson?
Well, not as a pitcher, no.
Why did I say Andre Dawson? God.
Andre's going to be another answer here soon, though. I'm going to throw out one that you might not have thought. Greg Maddux.
Okay, duh.
In 92 is one.
Rick Rushell?
Rick Rushell, yes, that's one. That's a Scott Garlitz connection there, because Giants team.
And Rick Pryor win 20 games?
Who's that?
Did Mark Pryor ever win 20 games? I know he was pretty good for them for a couple years.
Mark Pryor did not.
No, okay.
Say the injury bug got him hard, and I don't know. Did Kerry Wood win 20?
Kerry Wood did not win 20. Rick Rushell was actually born in Illinois and went to high school at Camp Point Central, actually, way out in western Illinois there.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
And he had a brother who played for the Cubs, too. They were both on the same team for a while, for a couple of years there in the late 70s, early 80s. But some other Cubs to throw to win 20 games in a season. Jake Arrieta won 20 games in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
That was the
– John Lieber in 2001.
Okay,
I'd have never got that one.
I wouldn't have either, basically, because, I'd have been super young in 01.
It would have been a quiet 20 games, he just kind of did his thing. All right.
How did you get Jake Arrieta? Come on, that's because was it 15 or 16? He won his Cy Young in 15, right? Jake Arrieta did?
Yeah, he won his Cy Young in 15,
And then they won, okay, I couldn't remember if it was the World Series year or if it was the year before.
Okay, over under again. This one for Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie Banks, the all-time leader in home runs for the Cubs, over or under 525?
Over or under 525 for Ernie Banks, Mr. Cub. I don't know off the top of my head. I want to say it was right around 20. I want to say it was right around 500. I don't know if it was 525. I'm just going to go under. My gut says under. I honestly don't know, but I'm going to go under.
Go with your gut, man. 512.
512. Mr. Cub.
Mr. Yep. Cub. Now, so I'm gonna take this angle kind of more modern day. Active leaders in home runs. Any guesses?
Anthony Rizzo.
Anthony Rizzo is not in the top five.
Oh, I thought he was.
I'll give you a hint. There's only four guys who are over 400 for their career right now who are still active.
Oh, we're going.
So all of baseball?
All of baseball. Sorry.
I thought it was just Cubs. My fault.
Sorry, my bad.
Albert Pujols.
Albert Pujols is the active leader with 656.
Active.
Yachty? A pretty good American League hitter. Spent a lot of time with the Tigers, I believe.
Oh, J.D. Martinez?
No. Miggy. Yeah. Miguel Cabrera.
Oh, duh.
Miguel Cabrera has 477. And then I'll spare you guys the last two because you probably would never guess them, and I wouldn't have until I looked it up. The other two guys with over 400 right now, active leaders, Edwin Encarnacion has 414, and Nelson Cruz has 401.
Nelson Cruz.
Edward Encarnacion, he's on the White Sox now.
Yeah, I mean, they're not getting any younger. I think on that active leaders list of guys over, 300 dingers, it's a pretty short list of guys that are, under 30. Mike Trout, maybe. I don't know. I like to believe those guys are going to get to 500 homers, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think Trout's, just shy of 300, I think.
So he's got a chance.
He's got a chance, but you're right. He would probably be the only young one on there, like you said, under 30, so.
That's tough to do, man. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next victim, Kale. Name and it's a short list. Illinois football is our topic here. Name an Illinois football coach who has taken the team to the Rose Bowl.
Zook.
Zook is one. The other ones you probably won't get. So I'll take Zook as one. Jay, do you have one that you can think of?
U of I football coaches in the Rose Bowl. So Zook would have been Juice's year, I'm assuming.
Yes.
And then we're going to have to go probably a little farther back.
Jay Layman.
He played in one. It's an early 80s coach.
I can't think of his name.
I'm at kind of an iconic Illinois team. Oh, you guys need to YouTube it. I'll go ahead and Mike White. You guys to YouTube it. 1983. There's a lot of good games out there for you. I'll spare you the 50s and 60s. Pete Elliott in 1964 with Jim Grabowski and Butkus, I think.
Yeah, Butkus was 64. That's right. I do remember that.
1947 and 1953, I believe, Ray Elliott. And on that 53 team, I think he had Buddy Young, I think. And 47, they just had everybody because they had guys who left for World War II and then all came back. So they had, like, just a crazy roster of, like, 150 guys on a football roster, something like that. All right. Jay, man, we're just rolling along. I mean, do we have a time limit on the podcast here?
No, we go as long as we want to go.
That's the beauty of it.
Okay. Jay, a Bears quarterback.
Ooh.
Who holds the team's single season record for touchdown passes? It's 29 touchdown passes in a season. Who is it?
29 touchdown. I can't remember his first name, but I think it was just before. Actually, it was the year I was born. That's how I remembered it. What's his name? Oh my God. Give me a second. I want to say his first name starts with an E. That's all I got.
First name starts with an E.
I can't remember the guy's name. You're just going to have to give it to me.
Ron Turner was his offensive coordinator, believe it or not. That's how long ago it was. Eric Kramer.
Kramer. Gosh darn it. That's going to drive me nuts.
You know, they've had a couple others close. Jay Cutler and, you know, Jimmy Harbaugh and the rest, McMahon and the rest of that crew. But Eric Kramer, 29 in a season. Well, you know, that list of Bears quarterbacks, as we well know, is a very short list of guys that you trust.
Yeah, that is very true.
You know, Jay Eshelman might be the emergency quarterback for the Bears.
I've had that job before. It's not a fun job when you get thrown in there and you're the emergency guy. I will say that.
I was smart enough not to play football. That's my mother, I guess. All right. Kale, a question for you about a Cubs Hall of Famer. Ryan Sandberg is obviously one of the greatest second basemen to ever play the game. But in his first year with the Cubs, I won't say his rookie year because he played just a tiny bit for the Phillies and then he got traded to the Cubs. But his first year with the Cubs, he did play second base. What position did he play?
I want to say he was at either third or short. I'm going with short.
close. He did a little bit of both, but he played most of those games at third base. So go with your guy. You're good. They thought he didn't really have the arm for third base, so they moved him to second. And they had, you know, he turned out pretty well at second base, I would think.
Yeah, he did.
That's a good question, because you're right. Most fans would think, you know, the majority of his career, like you said, second base, nobody would ever think about him playing third. It's a really good question.
Yep. He started 133 games at third base in 1980, whatever that was, early 80s. Okay, a question for Jay. A Cardinals legend, also a middle infielder. Ozzie Smith played 14 seasons for the Cardinals. How many consecutive Gold Glove awards did he win?
Ozzie Smith, consecutive Gold Gloves. I'm going to go 7, lucky number 7.
The unlucky number.
Oh no.
13.
13 yeah, consecutive.
Dude. Yeah, it was crazy how many. I think he's got the most consecutive Gold Gloves ever.
That's
the Wizard, the Mr. Backflip. I should have known.
13.
I hope Dad doesn't listen to this episode. He might make me sleep outside if he hears I got that question.
Hey, you know, we're just trying to help you out.
No.
All right, Kale, Cubs question for you. This is a topic of MVPs, right? Name a Cubs player who has won the MVP award. I'll see how many you can name.
Javi Baez is the most recent. No, he's not. Hang on, false. Hang on. He should have won it. He got the cover of MLB The Show. That's he won it. Yelich won it over Javi. Give me another shot here. One more. Oh God, now I'm blanking. Sammy Sosa.
Yes.
MVP. Chris. No. He won Rookie of the Year.
Yes, Chris Bryant.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Bryant. Yeah.
Now I'm all messed up. Santo?
No. Close.
Oh, that's surprising.
I think one of your answers from earlier is on this list. Am I wrong, Coach?
I think you're right, Jay.
A couple
of guys in the 80s.
Billy Williams?
No, not an MVP. Close, but no.
Man. I'm trying to think of who I answered earlier. I'm already forgetting.
You threw him in the pitching question. Your mind was elsewhere.
Dawson. My fault. Dawson.
Andre Dawson. I think they had a losing record. Well, they had a lot of losing records, but like he won MVP and they had some ridiculously terrible record that year.
As a Cubs fan, I'm used to losing.
The other two, I'll help you out. Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks, I think did it twice. You'll have to check me on that.
Then, yeah, I think it was back-to-back years, I think.
I believe it was back-to-back years, like 59-60 or somewhere in that general.
Yeah.
And then Ryan Sandberg.
Wow.
Ryan Sandberg.
Jay, you're talking about making people sleep outside. I'm right there with you.
Ryan Sandberg. I'm going to pick on Jay here. This is another, like holy grail of pitching, maybe. That might be too much of a hint. The Cubs, it's a Cubs question. The only pitcher to throw a perfect game against the Cubs. So he threw a perfect game against the Cubs.
Only pitcher to throw perfect game against the Cubs.
I would give you the team, but it would give it away.
Can you give me AL, NL? I guess it's probably way back. It's probably a little farther back, isn't it?
It's a little further back, so it is an NL, yeah. It's an NL team.
I want to say he's a Hall of Famer now. I can't tell you off the top of my head. As soon as you say it, I'm going to be mad.
Okay. You'll be really mad because he's probably one of the greatest ever. First perfect game ever thrown at night, actually. Sandy Koufax.
Sandy Koufax, the nice weird pitching motion everybody tried to imitate when they were kids.
talk about guys that work fast, you know. Total game time, 1 hour and 43 minutes.
I'll tell you what, that's a guy you love to play behind.
And the losing pitcher for the Cubs that night, Bob Hindley, gave up one hit. Major league record for fewest number of hits in a game. He gave up one hit, and they lost the game 1-0.
Holy
How would you
smoke,
like
Sandy
to be
Koufax.
On the receiving end of that? You throw a one hitter and you lose the game because the other guy threw a perfect game. Unbelievable.
That's why he's Sandy Koufax, right?
Yep. And it's the Cubs. I mean. And it's the Cubs.
Let's see here, man. We're not a whole lot of questions left. I'm going to give Kale this question. As if Jay missed this one, he would sleep outside. So it's a it's a Cardinals question. It's multiple choice for you, Kale. So who is the Cardinals' all-time home run leader? Is it Albert Pujols, Stan the Man, or Mark McGwire?
Mutual and McGwire is who I want to go with. I'm going to go with Mutual.
Mutual is correct. He's by far the all-time home run leader for the Cardinals. Pujols is second, and McGwire is somewhere down the list.
Stan the Man,
yeah.
See, as a Cubs fan, too, you think the home run races were, like, peak me growing up. So that's – McGwire was where I was getting
See, the crazy part is McGwire and all that was the most popular era, but it is crazy. If you go back and look at the Cardinals batting leaders, Stan is like draped over every category. I mean, at bats, plate appearances, runs scored, hits, doubles, triples. I mean, all of it. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, there's a difference, I think, between guys now that hit home runs and guys that are hitters, right? You know, the greatest hitters to ever play the game, it's Stan Musial, it's Ted Williams, guys who could hit the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Ichiro is a hitter to me, and I don't know that anybody today is a hitter. I mean, that's open to debate, but.
You're right. Guys that didn't hit the ball out of the ballpark a ton, but just knew how to hit. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the guy with the most hits probably will never get into the Hall of Fame while he's alive.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. He deserves to be there, but
I agree. I would put him in right now.
Yeah,
that's another topic for us, Kale. The debate on whether Pete should be in.
Does Pete have a 30-30 from ESPN? Because if he doesn't, oh my goodness, he should.
I don't think he does either. And the crazy thing is to the average fan, nobody knows, you know, not a lot of people know that he bet on his own team to win, you know. A lot of people, when they hear, oh, he bet on baseball, he was throwing games. No, it wasn't like he was throwing games. He's telling people, I'm going to put money on my squad to win. And that's why, it doesn't make it any more justified, but we'll have to save that for another day.
Yep. Okay. I think I'm down to maybe – two questions. All right. This one's a tough one. I gotta think about how I want to ask it. Okay, I got it. This is an Illinois wide receivers question.
Ooh. Oh boy.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a little tricky. This is career receptions. The career leader is the Hall of Famer David Williams, 262 receptions in 3 years. So that's why he's that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. I'll make this a little easier. Can you name some other guys that are in the top 10 for Illinois for all-time career receptions? Not touchdowns, not yards, receptions.
Career receptions.
Let's see.
Let's put our heads together on this one, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, Aurelius Ben, I know, is in the top 10.
Yes, so. He is sixth all-time in 3 years.
Aurelius Ben is sixth.
Geronimo Allison?
He's not in the top 10. He's in the top 10 for a single season, but not for a career.
Malik Turner. Who is the kid? Kale, who is the guy who I think he played – he was kind of like a slot running back. Like, he had a crazy amount, like almost 200. He graduated in 14. I know because he graduated the year I graduated high school.
I'm gonna give you that one just for the sheer information that you gave me. Yeah, Josh Ferguson, the running
Ferguson
back, is actually second all time, 197 receptions as a running back.
That was crazy. I remember them saying something about that. I know it came across the bottom of the TV during a game, but it was crazy. I always talked about him always catching passes out of the backfield. So Ferguson, and then we have Aurelius Ben are the two.
Yep. Would Mikey Dudek be on there? I know he got hurt a lot, but man, he caught a lot of balls.
He is fifth all time single season, but not for a career.
Okay.
Is the Jenkins kid in the top 10?
Yes, Jenkins is fourth all time, 167 balls.
AJ Jenkins. And then I know there's a couple. I know there's a couple in the list in the top 10 that I think played on the same team. Like, I want to say like 2000-ish.
Yep, 2000-ish is a good vintage for it. And yeah, they were both two guys on the same team. Kurt Kittner threw them a lot of balls, and they caught a lot of balls.
Okay, Kittner, that helps me. So one of them is Brandon Lloyd.
Yes, one of them. And Lloyd, yep.
And then I can't remember the other one.
Well, here's a name for you. I'll give it to you. Walter Young. Walter Young. And then I'll cover the last three for you. Give you a little history lesson. The guy at number three is most famous as a tight end, Jason Dulick.
Jason Dulick.
Just before Josh Whitman era, back when Illinois had like Ken Dilger and Jason Dulick and some actual tight ends. Also on the list in 3 years in the mid-60s, John Wright Sr. John Wright Jr. also played, and they lived somewhere in the general Champaign area. And then a running back from back in my day. Are you ready for this? Ty Dothard, 93 to 96, right before Robert Holcomb really got rolling. They had Ty Dothard as the running back. It's really good early 90s teams with great defense and good running backs and just.
Yeah, the early mid 90s, honestly, the 90s for the most part were pretty good for you. For our fighting line.
It didn't matter what sport it was in.
I mean, other than like late, 97, 98 for football were terrible. But other than that, you're right. It was like we were still competitive. So we'll see. We'll see what the 2020s hold, you know. It's like the 80s belong to the Illini, right? You know?
Yep. Absolutely. You'd like to think we're back on track there for some sports, hopefully.
I hope so. Okay. Question for both you guys. So this is kickoff returns for the Bears, kickoff returns. There are only two guys in Bears history who have, I think, at least four kickoff returns for a touchdown in their career. Who are those two guys?
Devin Hester.
So, yep, one of them is Hester.
Because he did it in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Hester.
Opening kickoffs for a touchdown.
Well, no, not just – no, just career kickoff return touchdowns.
Okay, can I ask this question since this is the last one? This guy, the last one isn't on the active roster, is he?
No. Great running back, but he had six career kickoff return touchdowns in 6 years. So that gives you a hint. Very short career, very talented, great running back, but not really thought of as a great returner, but he was actually a really great returner.
Oh, man, I can't remember his name.
It's Gale Sayers. Six kickoff.
It is Sayers.
Six kickoff return touchdowns in 6 years.
That's crazy.
Dang it, man. I knew it was you were talking about how that question was going to come back.
I'm gonna look it up real quick since I've got it. But this is career kick and punt return leaders. Let me look. I gotta look for kick return average here. I'm looking. Oh, I got it. Gale Sayers' career kick return average, 30.6 yards.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, he's a pretty good returner, if you ask me.
That's pretty good return.
That'll get you paid.
Yes, it will. All right, I'm gonna end it with an Illini trivia question or just a factoid for you. Back when we talk about like multi-sport athletes, so this is probably the greatest multi-sport athlete in the history of Illinois, Dyke Edelman. So here's his rundown, and it was the 40s, but I'll still give him credit. So he played in the 1947 Rose Bowl as the punter, and I think he's Illinois's has the longest punt in Illinois history, like 80 some yards. 1947 Rose Bowl as the punter. He placed fourth in the high jump at the 1948 Olympics and then started for the basketball team that made it to the Final Four in 1949.
So basically it was like, what sport do you want to play? We'll let you play. That's crazy.
So, you know.
See, that's
a lot of fun, man.
This is awesome. We got to do this again.
Yeah, we do. But we got our best player coaches topic. We've got our what sport would LeBron play if he didn't play basketball? You know.
Yeah.
Those kind of theoretical questions.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff we can break down. You know, it's just like a tough time for everybody trying to make sense of what's going on. But, you know, that's the thing is that, I'm glad that you're bringing, throwing all that stuff at us. That kind of really helps Jay and I a lot, trying to figure out what we can do.
Well, you know, experience, man.
All right, Coach Pacey.
Don't have beauty, but I do have age. But thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, that's no problem, Coach. We appreciate you taking the time and getting the questions prepared for us because, you know, you needed three to do a trivia day. And I'd say, hey, I think that Jay and I are kind of evenly matched there. We missed some that we shouldn't have, or at least I did anyway. I won't speak on his behalf. But
I did too. That was good stuff.
But, yeah, once again, Coach Pacey, appreciate you popping in, writing those questions out, and probably get you on here again. We're trying to get some guests and worked in and out of here. So maybe we'll bring you in here again for maybe one of that coach player topic.
Yeah, that sounds good, man. Looking forward to it.
All right. Once again, Coach Pacey, voice of PBL Athletics for WPXN. Jay, this was a lot of fun, man. And I don't, we ain't got nothing else to add, do we?
No, that's good stuff. Like you said, evenly matched. Big thanks to Coach Pacey yet again. And I think we'll be hearing a lot more of his voice on here. So we're excited for his future topics of discussion with us.
Absolutely. Once again, don't forget to like, download, rate, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. All the episodes can also be found on WPXNradio.com. Don't forget to follow Jay on Twitter at JTAsh11 or Coach Pacey on Twitter at Coach Pacey. You can follow me at KLFleming10 and the station at 104.9 WPXN. Guys, until next time, I'll talk to you later.
Take care.